Hello, friends, and welcome to Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting today live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. But actually today, I'm broadcasting by Skype live from the 13th Annual International Water Conference in Sofia, Bulgaria. And I want to thank Jerry Pollack and Professor Germanoff for inviting me to this incredible conference with some of the world's most fascinating scientists. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. I want to thank everyone so much for listening today and making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular talk shows in the Seattle area. We now have over 250,000 listeners over 90 countries, and I just want to thank everyone so much for their wonderful support. I know if we all work together, we can and will make this planet a much, much, much better place. I wanted to tell everyone there's also a listener survey going on and right now on KKNW, and if you'd like to participate, please go to the KKNW website at www.1150kknw.com, and I really enjoy hearing from all of you. During the first hour from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Seattle time today, I'll be interviewing my good friend Simon Parks from England, who's had a lifetime of contact with many different extraterrestrial races, and it was always fascinating things to say. Then from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. today, I'll be broadcasting live from the 13th Annual International Water Conference here in Sofia, Bulgaria, with some of the world's greatest water scientists. The website for the conference is www.waterconf, that's water, then C-O-N-F.org. I'm on the press committee for the conference, and I'll be interviewing some of the world's most famous scientists on their exciting new scientific breakthroughs, including the memory of water and how we can make water-based quantum computers. I hope you can all listen. Before we start, I'd like to thank everyone so much for their support of this radio program, because Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on it. I really appreciate all your help and support, because I know together we can create a much better and happier world. And with that, I'd like to thank Corey and Saul and Kirkland for their generous support, as well as my wonderful friends Mary and Elias in Costa Rica, Bradley and Gemma in London, England, and everyone around the world who've helped me raise consciousness and make this world a better place. I'd also like to thank the many sponsors of this show. We're also looking for more sponsors and advertisers. Any advertising on the program will have a worldwide audience for your goods and services. And with that, I'd like to thank my good friend Carol, who's designing my website, providing wonderful support, my friends in the Galactic Alliance who've been supporting my show, my angelic and earthly family, and of course KKNW, without whose help and support this program would not be possible. I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides, and if you'd like to get in touch with your loved ones who have passed on or contact your guides and get some good spiritual advice, please send me an email anytime to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. You can also call me in the United States at 509-750-9793. My next galactic conference, the fifth annual conference, will be held in the same location it has been in Olympia, Washington, at 9101 Silicon Road, from April 12th to the 16th, 2019. We'll have some amazing people there, including Aaron Elizabeth of Health Nut News, and Simon Parks will be giving a presentation. If you register before the December 31st, the cost for the three-day conference will only be $55. And if you're interested, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I also wanted to tell you that I have a wonderful psychic fair coming up on November 10th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. And there at the fair will be Michiko Hayashi from the Emoto Peace Project in Tokyo, Japan. She'll be giving special Hado healing water vibrational sessions. And if you'd like to come, please send me an email. The event's free, but if you'd like a Hado session, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com so I can put you on the list. In addition, sometime in June of 2019, I'll be giving a presentation at Watkins Books in London, as well as a presentation at Banyan Books in beautiful Vancouver, Canada. When I know the exact dates, I'll be happy to tell you all the more details. I also will be returning to Mount Shasta from July 2nd to the 8th, and again from September 5th to the 11th, 2019. Mount Shasta is a very special and magical place where miracle healings occur. We also always see lots of Sasquatch and UFOs flying around the mountain. The last time we were there, we were able to telepathically contact a UFO, and Adama, the high priest of Telos, healed the vision in my right eye, restoring both eyes to perfect 20/10 eyesight. The cost is only $200 per person and includes free camping. And if you'd like to go, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Simon, and I'm so happy Simon's on today. Simon, how are you doing?
I'm very well, Ted. Now, Eric says you're in Bulgaria. What are you doing in Bulgaria, Ted?
Well, I was invited to a water conference, and I'm here. This is an extension of my work in water issues. Of course, Michiko Hayashi with the Emoto Peace Project and Dr. Emoto did a lot of work in water, have done a tremendous amount of work in water. And it's an area that I've always been interested in. So they invited me here, and I've been doing press publicity for them, and met a lot of really fascinating scientists. I did interview about 6-7 scientists here at the conference today, and their interviews will be during on my second hour. Several of them are working on a new quantum-based, water-based computer, in which case they would be using additional oxygen molecules. Of course, water is H2O. There's also easy water, which is H2O2, which is considered a fourth phase of water in addition to being solid, liquid, and gaseous. And I've been told by my spirit friends. And there was a gentleman also named Matthias Di Stefano who was on my show about 2 years ago, Simon, and he had lived in Atlantis. He has memories of living in Atlantis 15,000 years ago and using water-based quantum computers. He said that the reason why we don't find any written records of Atlantis today is because their computers were water-based, and when the civilization imploded 12,500 years ago, they lost their technology. But it's still there somewhere, somehow in the Atlantic. There is still the memory of all that information from that very advanced civilization. The problem with Atlantis is, like today, they started playing with weapons and things that they shouldn't be playing with, and they ended up destroying themselves. But that's from your work, Simon, and many light workers around the planet, that's something we certainly don't want to happen today. But anyway, that's how I ended up here, and the conference goes through Monday. So I'm so happy to be here and meeting lots of interesting people.
Well, okay, that explains why you're in Bulgaria. Thank you, Ted. That's really great. Listen, I wanted just to give an update. I did put it up on the website, but I think it was after we did the last show, last time we checked in with each other.
Okay.
And I'm not sure whether this is being widely reported in the US. You know how you guys don't seem to get the truth through your major news. But
right.
Can you tell me, Ted, I know you've been traveling, but have you picked up regarding Hillary Clinton having her security clearance removed? Have you heard that?
I believe that was on the I think I heard that from you, Simon, on my last show. You mentioned it.
Wow.
But I haven't heard it in our major news. They really don't give us much information, to be honest. So,
okay, I was just curious because it's been covered in this country since then, in one major newspaper covered it, and I was just wondering whether there'd been any development in the US. But what I've heard further to that is that in order to totally isolate the Clintons, they've had their security clearance removed so they can no longer access any past records. They're not entitled to pick the phone up and speak to anyone to find out what's going on. So there's a real move now to isolate them, to prevent them from having up-to-date information.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just curious as to whether that had been talked about in the US, but you're saying no, it's not.
Not really. If it has been, it's been kind of mentioned in passing. Not really. Now, if my listeners out there, especially in the United States, if you have heard it on the major media, please let me know. Just send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. But I haven't heard it. I have been traveling, but I haven't heard it. No. No.
Oh, thanks, Ted. Okay. It's just an idea for me, you know. I don't want to be posting things on my website if, you know, you guys already know about it. That's all.
Not really. No. No. Well, that's why I think that's why people really enjoy what you have to say, Simon, because you do come out with the truth and you tell people in an honest way what's going on, and people appreciate that. You know, I guess that's one of the reasons why CNN's ratings has dropped below the Cartoon Channel, and they're looking at financial problems now, because who wants to listen to a so-called news source that doesn't really tell you the truth about what's going on, you know? So people are busy, but they don't have time for nonsense, and they don't have time for media outlets that don't tell them the truth, I think.
I think, Ted, that for too long, these media outlets have literally treated people as children. Mm-hmm. And whatever's changed, something's changed. Either the skill level of hiding stuff has got worse, or
right.
People are evolving now to a point that they're seeing through all of these lies. But basically what's happening is that more and more people are looking at this so-called news and saying, actually, this is just boring me. This is actually frivolous and foolish, and I haven't got time for it. I really haven't got time for it. I've got a busy life. I've got kids, or I've got to pay bills, or I've got to get to work, and I just don't want to read about this particular person's bought 50 pairs of pink shoes, or such and such a dog, you know, did this. And the media still think, I believe, that they can subdue people with these fake stories. And I think that's what President Trump means when he talks about fake news. He doesn't just mean news aimed at people to hurt them. He's talking about just rubbish made up just to fill up the news time. And so I think, yes, I think things are changing for the better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have to share this story with you, Simon, and all my listeners. It was back in April of 2014. And you know how sometimes someone will tell you something, Simon, just a few words or a sentence, a couple of sentences, and it'll stick in your mind. It's something you don't forget. Uh-huh. Well, I had an astrologer, a very good one, named Susan Miller, back in April of 2014, and she said, from her perspective as an astrologer, that this was a time of truth. And this time of truth would easily last for the rest of this decade into the 2020s and 2030s. And I asked her about that, and she said that one thing that's very memorable, she said that things that are true will become more self-evident, and those things that are false will become, show themselves to be false and fall by the wayside. So I've remembered that, and that coupled with the rising vibrations on this planet getting higher and higher, what's called the Schumann resonance has been going, it's the highest in certainly our recorded history for tens of thousands of years. Scientists say the Schumann resonance was something like 7.8 hertz, which is a frequency. Well, now it's something right around about 2 hertz. Our Earth scientists had to create a new logarithmic scale to measure it. And my psychic sources, spirits on the other side, say that by the end of 2020, it'll go to 800 hertz, because we're on the way to the higher dimensions. And as this goes, people try to hide the truth or conceal the truth, it won't work, and people don't have time for it, won't have time for it, and so media outlets which thrive on fake news, keeping people preoccupied with garbage, are going to have even less toleration in the future. So they either will have to learn to change with the changing times, or they'll go out of business. One of the two.
Yes, I agree. It's interesting that a little while back, a few days back, President Trump came out and said, and I'm going to try and quote as best as I can, that scientists were talking about global warming and that they had a political agenda. So for the first time, somebody in authority is saying that there's an agenda behind global warming. It's not just scientists reading the data and saying, we extrapolate from this that we believe this will happen. What sure. Trump is saying is, actually, you guys are just sitting and making all this up. You have an agenda. Now, that's really powerful stuff. But again, sure. I bet you that didn't really hit the major news, did it?
No, it did not. No. No.
And yet,
no.
And
well,
yet
I told you.
That was a public statement. He did it as a public statement, and he tweeted right. it out.
Right.
You know, if you lived in a place where the news was free, that would have been up for debate. But it's sure. not up for debate.
Well, I don't know if I told you this, Simon, but the cartoon channel in the United States has more viewers than the CNN right now. It's so it just shows you how people are paying less and less attention to media outlets, which really don't, you know, explain, give the people information that they need.
Well, it can't go on. It definitely nope. can't go on. Something's got to give. Sure. Ultimately, we're on a 3D planet, and it's about money. And right. if more and more subscribers, viewers turn away, they've either got to seriously rethink the way they deal with people, or they've just got to go to the wall and foreclose.
Sure, sure, absolutely, absolutely. Well, I've gotten questions, of course, in. Wonderful questions from my listeners, Simon. But I wanted to ask you a couple of things as a follow-up, things that I brought up before a couple weeks ago. First off was about chemtrails. When I flew to Bulgaria here, I flew kind of it was a long route, lots of different flights. And when I took the segment from London to Frankfurt, Germany last week, we took off over the English countryside, and I could see all these chemtrails, actually several planes flying, spraying chemtrails. How is that? Is that kind of a last gasp effort to spray the planet before they're stopped totally? Or what? Love your information on that.
One of the problems I think is that Great Britain, next to America, is sprayed the heaviest.
Okay.
There isn't another country outside of the U.S. Mm-hmm. that gets hammered in the same way, and there's a reason for this. And I've mm-hmm. been saying this for 8 years.
Right.
That if the United States of America is the country of physical action, then Great Britain is the country of the magic. It's the country of the energy movement. So these are the two countries that the bad guys would try to hold down, because the citizenry of both those countries are liable to break free. So mm-hmm. you're right to an extent.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's the last gasp, but it does have an effect. That's the problem. These chemtrails do have an effect. Mm-hmm. And the reason they're continually doing it is because it's probably, from their perspective, the best tool they've got in their arsenal. It's probably the only weapon they've got
sure.
that is deliberately slowing down the development of humanity. Remember, mm-hmm. Ted, we don't want to go too much on it, but remember we've talked
sure.
before, and I've said that some chemtrails, in my opinion, do contain bacteria and viruses. And in others, they contain pieces of aluminum. And in others, they contain different. So it's not just one thing going on here. They will spray different parts of the planet with different materials, depending on what they're trying to do in that location.
And
the other thing I would say, and the other thing I would say is that in most cases, the pilots of these aircraft have no idea.
Or they may have even been brainwashed to think that they're doing their patriotic duty. You never know. It's hard to tell.
Well, I think from what I've heard, I've been told one pilot had been told that this was something to make the fuel last longer. He'd been told.
I see.
That by mm-hmm. whatever, because they know when they can see the trails coming out, that's not normal. But he'd been told that gives a 25% increase in fuel, it's more cost effective. So they do lie to their pilots. I mean, yes, I'm sure there's a sizable proportion of pilots that know what are going on. But, hey, they're on a really good wage, good salary. Why would they fight it from their perspective? But I think a lot of pilots also are just spun a lie.
Sure. This is something that I want to share, something that William Tompkins told me about a year and a half ago. This is before he passed away. And he mentioned to me on the phone. I actually had invited him on my show, but he canceled abruptly about 10 minutes before coming on my show last year. But I think he was probably ordered not to come on. But he did tell me that some of the chemtrail planes are not human planes. They're actually reptilian spacecraft, which are spraying the planet to terraform planet Earth to make it more hospitable to their species and less hospitable to ours. One of the things that and he also said that they were able to shapeshift from a reptilian aircraft, a reptilian UFO, into a plane that maybe looks like a U.S. military plane. I know that sounds like sci-fi and science fiction, but he told me he firmly believed that. He'd seen planes actually transform themselves with shape-shifting technology that the reptilians do use from their own spacecraft into a U.S. military plane. So people would think that our government is spraying them. And he said that wasn't the case at all. So
this is the problem we have, Ted. Mm-hmm. It's not too difficult to convince somebody that government is corrupt. It's not too difficult to convince people that buildings collapse for different reasons. But when we start talking about a regular airplane, perhaps not being a regular airplane, being something else, for many people, that's just a concept too far. But I actually want to confirm what you've said. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to give an example of this. A good 4 years ago now, I was contacted by somebody who claimed to be ex-American intelligence, but I was led to believe that he was still very much on the payroll. Mm-hmm. And he phoned me at home all the way from the US. I didn't approach him. He approached me and got my phone number, goodness knows how.
Yeah.
But anyway, he was telling me how that he was aware that there were some regular motor cars, regular auto cars, which in fact weren't cars, but were something completely different. But they looked, for all intents and purposes, to the ordinary person as a motor car. But sometimes when you looked at them, they might shimmer or there might be a glitch. But generally speaking, they could get away with it. Now, he said this was common knowledge in the very high echelons of American intelligence. And of course, he said, you know, when somebody has got technology at that level, it's no wonder that we, that's the American military, we have to leave them alone, because he said we can't match that, and we have to keep them friendly. If we were to become hostile, we would all be shut down within a matter of minutes. So he was confirming that there is a technology out there that masks or camouflages something into a regular object.
Sure. I wanted to update one thing we did talk about earlier, about the Hillary Clinton story and her loss of her security clearance. I just received an email from a gentleman named Wes. He says, "Hello, Ted. The story about Hillary Clinton losing her security clearance was well covered. The storyline that was that Hillary had made the request to have it canceled. It was reported in Google News and some major news sources. So I apologize to my listeners out there. I've been traveling, but again, if the story went that Hillary had made the request to have it canceled, maybe they were just spinning it to make it appear less damaging to her. I don't know, but that's
Absolutely, Ted. The information I've got is that she was told you're having it. It's a bit like, do you want to be sacked or do you want to put your resignation in? Do you want to be fired or do you want to go publicly? And I think that, well, I know that they told her that President Trump had demanded that she no longer have access to certain items. But because she's still connected to a very powerful group, they allowed her to say that it'd come from her.
I see. I see. Well, Wes, I want to thank you so much for pointing that out to me, and thanks so much, Simon, for your comments on that. So, well, wonderful, wonderful. And thanks for explaining about chemtrails, too, because I saw the chemtrails there, and I thought, oh, my goodness, they were just everywhere. It was early morning flight, so if you were in London, you couldn't see the planes, but you could see them above the clouds. And we flew above the clouds, of course, flying from London out to Frankfurt, but we could see them. I could see the planes all over the place, actually. It was amazing. I told people on the plane, too, and they looked at me like I just told them a bird had flown past the window. They didn't seem concerned. I guess that's part of the problem, too.
You, Ted, the mistake you made was you didn't have your JFK badge on.
That's true. You're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. Well, I have to tell you, there's something else, too, and I want to follow this up. I think I'd mentioned this before on the other a couple weeks ago, that the Welsh government was dumping radioactive mud off the coast of England, and I've gotten several people quite concerned about it. But I don't know how a government can continue to exist when they have no moral or legal authority to damage the planet like that. I don't understand it. And actually, the same thing's happening now in Japan too. And there was another news story where TEPCO, Tokyo Electric Power Company, is planning on dumping more radioactive water into the Pacific next to Fukushima. I don't know. It just doesn't. I don't see how they can do it. But that's just me. So,
well, Ted, the thing is that it's a concept that vast majority of your listeners will never have come across, and I'm going to spell it out to them. There are these people who think they're better than us. They right. believe that everything on the planet belongs to them. So let's give you an example. It'd be different in your country, but in this country, we've got a lot of history. And if you find, say, a gold coin that goes back 1,000 years, which is reasonably common, you can do that, actually. Mm-hmm. You find a gold coin that's 1,000 years old or 2,000 years old. Right. You have to, by law, hand it in to the government, and the government will pay you what its real worth is. But you can't keep it. And that's called treasure trove in Britain. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But this is part of this attitude that everything that you have or everything you find is ours anyway. So it doesn't matter what you do in your life. Mm-hmm. It's considered to be the property of somewhere else. In my country, we have a queen, a monarchy. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. even people in Great Britain don't realize that even if you have a mortgage on your house and you pay the mortgage off, mm-hmm. that house doesn't belong to you. That house mm-hmm. still belongs to the Queen. Now, that's,
really?
That's a
wow.
constant. Yes. The land and the house belong to the monarch, the Queen. And so when you have an attitude that says everything is mine,
right.
then you can then go into this crazy world and start treating people as if they're animals or worse. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. why they use the chemtrails. That's why they do everything, because they don't value people. They are devoid of emotion. And for your listeners, that's a shocking and terrible thing. Mm-hmm. You know, look at, you talked about Japan. Japan tried to dump all of the radioactive waste onto recreation parks in Japan. Can you imagine that? Recreation parks. Oh, it's the God's own truth, I swear to you. Children play in recreation parks, and they wanted to dump, and the government agreed, radioactive material, because they have so much of this material, they don't know what to do with it, and they wanted to put it into landscaping. Mm-hmm. You know, this concept is insane. It is totally, it's a madman. And that's the point. We've got madmen in many positions. Not in all, but in many mm-hmm. positions. But you know what? If you take a group of people and you put them up on the 58th floor of a big block and you right. never let them out, they never see the light of day, eventually they create a subculture and they believe themselves to be the rulers of the planet or the rulers of the world, or in this case, the ruler of the tower block, and that every other floor underneath them is not as important as them. And mm-hmm. that's the problem. That's what's happened on this planet.
Huh, interesting. There's something else too I want to share with you. People have recommended that some people have recommended that many people as much as you can do earthing, which is basically walking on the ground with either like your bare feet, for example, or in a forest, or if you can possibly, or in a city park if you're in a city. And that the Mother Earth or Gaia will help ground you. Conversely, those who don't earth, or for example, they live in a high skyscraper, or they're locked hypothetically, maybe in a large corporation office up on the 45th floor of a skyscraper, or a government office, and if they don't spend much time on the ground, sometimes the rates of mental illness can actually increase. So they become totally separated from the planet. And they do get a kind of madness, and where it's okay to dump radioactive mud on the coast of England. It's fine for TEPCO in Tokyo to dump radioactive water into the Pacific, or to put it on children's playgrounds in Japan. To me, that's insanity. But if you're isolated, you lost touch with reality, you know, anything can be, I guess anything can be normal in that situation. I don't know.
Well, Ted, Let's look at greed and money. We can go back 100 years. We can go back more than 100 years, but we can go back 100 years. Mm-hmm. And in your country and in my country, there have been manufacturers of flour. They take the grain, the corn, they grind it, and they get the flour, and then they send it off for bread. Well, during what we call the Victorian era in my time, these people would add plaster to the flour to bulk it out to increase the weight. And time again, right through history, manufacturers add bulking materials. In most cases, they're not harmful, but on occasions, they've been extremely harmful, just to make the product bigger, weigh more, and so they get more profit and more money. When you've got a culture that thinks it's okay to add stuff like this into food or other products, you've got to ask yourself, the people who've okayed that, what is wrong with them? Why are they so separated from humanity? Don't they have wives or girlfriends? Right. Don't they have brothers or sisters? Don't they have children? Don't they live like us? What is going on in their mindset to be so separated? Maybe they had a great trauma when they were a child. Mm-hmm. Maybe they don't feel part of the human race. And I've met many people like that. But something, as we say in Great Britain, something ain't right here. Something's very wrong. And this, to come back to your point about the Schumann resonance increasing, with the increase in the frequency, these people are finding it harder and harder to hide. Mm-hmm. And decent, ordinary people in most countries are now beginning to see the truth, and it's frightening and it's shocking, because you think, I thought this world was okay, and now I realize it's not. So that's the transformation that we're going through at the moment.
Wow, amazing. I just received a very interesting email from a medical student in Germany, and so I'll paraphrase it. He says he's had dreams in the past where they often come true in his life, and he recently had a dream of a spaceship approaching me. He couldn't tell exactly what kind of ET it was. It looked like the Greys, and they said nothing but, "We're here to take your DNA," and then they disappeared. I just got that now. I know that the Greys and the reptilians have been harvesting our DNA for quite some time, at least since the 1950s. But I've been told by my Galactic Alliance friends that practice has been stopped by them in a policing action, so they can't do that anymore, at least not like they did in the past.
Mm-hmm. I agree. They're still doing it, but they're doing it undercover. Previously, they were doing it and there was just very open about it. In fact, they were trading it. They didn't use money. They used DNA. That's a currency that they use. It's very, very valuable in other places. You know, if you come to Earth and you just outside of the DNA line, you take some flowers and you take some bee, you take some flowers and you take some bees, and then you find another planet that doesn't have that, but you know, has an environment. Well, then you can terraform that planet. It may take millions of years, but you can actually introduce self-sustaining material. I mean, you know, I get very, very cross actually with people who say that this Earth is just a chance. And I say, how can it be a chance that the Sun is just the right distance from Earth so that the majority of Earth is warm enough for life? The Moon is just the right distance to control the oceans. Mm-hmm. That our plants breathe in carbon dioxide and breathe out oxygen, and we breathe in oxygen and breathe out carbon dioxide. So humans and plants sustain each other. Now, to my knowledge, there aren't many engines on our world that are self-sustaining. I know that when my tank in my car runs out, I've got to stick gas into it. But look, look what's happening on the planet, that the plant breathes in one gas, breathes out another, and that's exactly right for us. That's not chance. So when you look at what can be harvested and traded for millions of years, life forms have been coming to this world, taking samples, taking them somewhere else and trading them. And that's a big, big market. And the DNA is the most sacred, and these guys don't have permission for it. So you've got to fight them, and you've got to refuse to play that game with them.
What's interesting about what you said, it resonates with me, because I was told a long time ago by my galactic friends that the reptilians who came here in the Greys were actually a trading species. And they considered DNA very valuable. And then you said it again now, and it kind of hit home. I didn't understand it completely, but now I do. Thank you for explaining that. I have a follow-up question, actually, from Jan from California. I'll paraphrase it. It's a long email.
Okay.
I'll paraphrase it. Back in the 70s, 80s, here in the United States, when you bought milk carton, we bought milk in a milk carton, Simon, you'd often find a picture of a young child that's missing. And from what my galactic friends told me is that many of these children were abducted by the reptilians. But that process, again, has been largely stopped now. Do you remember that happening, by the way? I don't know if you were familiar with what that was going on.
I'm very familiar with it. We didn't have it in this country, but I know exactly what you mean.
Okay. All right. Okay. And she writes, why there aren't any remains, and how come I can't find my lost child? Kind of a sad email, but I hope that that explains
it. Yeah, I mean, it does need addressing. We can't be sure when a child goes missing. We really don't know.
Sure.
You know, unless you have the evidence, we can't say one way or the other.
Yeah, that's true.
Or what we can say is that there is a remarkable similarity. The number of children that go missing from each country, if you work it out as a percentage of the country's population, it's roughly about the same. Now, that is not coincidence. Up to about 25 years ago, you could get official Freedom of Information Act. You could get official figures. Now, the governments refuse point blank to give you the information, or they say we don't collect that information. So you try and get information. You might get it from one state, but you won't get it from all states. So it'd be very difficult now to say how many missing children are there in the US, because you're told that they don't collate that information. Now, that is surprising to me, because with the advanced technology we have, I bet you that every American state could tell you when a library book is overdue from the library, and they'll know who has it, and they'll be able to send a fine to that person.
Yet that's right.
They say they can't collate or work out the number of missing children. So immediately the alarm bells go off. And you say, "What? This should be a priority for you. This is human life. It's the most sacred." So maybe someone's leaning on them and saying, "Hey, listen, you know, just pretend it doesn't happen." And that's mm-hmm. where we're at with it, I'm afraid.
Sure, sure. Well, I remember it back in the 70s, 80s, drinking milk and seeing the milk carton, all these kids, people, you know, young children missing. And most of the cases, from what I understand, just weren't solved. And, hopefully the truth will come out someday, and I hope it does regarding them. On your website, Simon, there was a blurb about on October 17th about a comet. I believe it's called Wirtanen, will be visible between the 12th of December and the 18th when it passed by the Pleiades. I was just curious. Is that love your any further comments on that? Any spiritual significance of the comet passing through?
Okay, I think there is. December is an interesting month. It's the close of one year and the beginning of another year. Mm-hmm. And in British history, there's always been a great emphasis placed on comets that arrive late on in the year. And indeed, 1066, which is the last time Great Britain was successfully invaded, that's 1066, mm-hmm. There was a comet, Halley's Comet, that came over, and people foretold that the king was going to die, and indeed he did 3 months mm-hmm. later. So I believe that this comet is an interesting, it's not a sign in the magic sense of the word, but it's part of the process of what in the Bible we are told is signs in the sky. There will be signs. Mm-hmm. If you are clever, you can predict thousands of years ahead, and you can look at the confluence of planets, and you can look at the confluence of stars, and you can say, I know that in 700 years, this will be the positioning of the stars. So sure. This is an interesting comet because it's going to be incredibly bright. Mm-hmm. Comets are to a penny, but this is going to be visible with the naked eye. That's what makes it special. You're not going to need glasses, field glasses, binoculars. You're going to see it with the naked eye. And I think it's will be a very interesting happening. That's why I put it on the website.
Well, thank you. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. Thanks for sharing that so much. Just received another, got several questions about journalist Jamal Khashoggi. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Okay.
Who was apparently... let's see. He was apparently murdered in the Saudi embassy in Turkey. Would be several people are interested in your comments on that.
Right. A difficult one. Mm-hmm. Let's start off from this angle, first of all.
Okay.
When some ex-Russian double agents were poisoned in Britain, there was a huge outcry, and I think in Great Britain we spent something like £15 million, what's that, about nearly $20 million, mm-hmm. Investigating it. And yet when somebody dies in a Saudi embassy, people shuffle around and pretend it's not happened.
Mm.
What I think we can be certain of is that people like President Trump, key government leaders, know the truth. That is why people are pulling out of business deals with Saudi Arabia. In Great Britain, we have an entrepreneur businessman called Richard Branson, mm-hmm. and he's just put a stop on Saudi Arabia putting money into his rocket program. Mm-hmm. The British government has cancelled its meeting it had with the Saudis. Now, they don't do that unless they know something. If there's rumors flying about,
sure.
You don't cancel a government meeting. You don't cancel a multi-million pound contract. You
right.
only do that when somebody mm-hmm. privately says to you, actually, it's true. So what do we know? What we know is the guy went in mm-hmm. officially to the consulate, the Saudi embassy, because he wanted to marry a woman, and he had to get the papers to go through that.
Oh,
it is, it is alleged, and we can only say that at the moment because we don't know in terms of proving it to the public. Mm-hmm. It is alleged that he was beaten to death. Mm-hmm. Now, this is going to be a bit shocking for your audience, but I'm mm-hmm. not going to hide what's being said. And his body was cut up into about 15 different parts.
Oh, my goodness.
Put into bags, taken to a motor car, and driven out. Wow. Now, the Turkish authorities believe this to be true because they have all of that street covered in cameras because it's an embassy section and they have to be responsible. Mm-hmm. And they saw a large team of people, maybe 10 or 12 people come in, and they saw bags going out. So their opinion is that. How do they know? It looks like the guy had some form of recording device and something was recorded. Now, what I'm going to tell you now is also semi-official. It's semi-official. Mm-hmm. So it's not official coming out of the Saudi government, but some Saudi officials who are not allowed to speak, but they are speaking anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And what they appear to be saying is that there was an error. This guy was being interrogated in the embassy and died during the interrogation, and it wasn't meant to happen. Now, that's the story they're giving. So this is incredibly serious. Now, from a political point of view, this happened not on Turkish soil. It happened on Saudi Arabian soil. So the Turkish government can't do a police investigation because the alleged murder didn't take place in Turkey. It took place on Saudi Arabian soil. That's
my
the
goodness.
Point. So legally, there's nothing they can do, because if it's true, the murder took place out of their jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing they can do is start to put sanctions or withdraw their support. Now, the difficulty for President Trump is he's in the process of signing a multi-billion dollar with Saudi Arabia, which is going to bring a ton of jobs to the US. So I think, and I'm second guessing him, I think what he'll do is he won't cancel the contract because he needs jobs for Americans.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what he'll do is he'll put pressure and start to take away stuff on the other side. So in terms of the jobs to the US, he's going to keep the deal going. But I think he's going to restrict some of these people's travel. So it's a very, very interesting case. So yes, I do believe the guy is no more. I don't think he's around.
Yeah. Okay.
So I hope that's helpful. I hope for your question that's helpful.
Yeah, I think that's explained it. Yeah, several people asked about him. I had another question from a gentleman named Tino. Hi, what is preventing the aliens from helping humankind, and what color are they? So.
Okay.
That's an interesting question. So you set that
in. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Okay, what's preventing them? There's a few reasons. I can't say one is more important than another. I'll just reel them off to you. If you're a good faction, so the beneficials, what's preventing is the negative forces who would create an all-out war. That's one aspect. The second aspect is that not all of the governments of the planet actually want to have their help. They don't want their help. They don't want the truth, because they'll lose control of their people. These governments treat people as children. And if an alien spaceship lands and the truth comes out, then those children want to grow up very quickly and they don't need the government. There's other reasons, which are simply the government is genuinely concerned that there'll be a panic. But here's the real reason, as far as I'm concerned, is that if good aliens landed and changed everything, why would anybody here on Earth have to get out of their armchair? Why would we ever have to strive? Why would we ever have to work for self-development or self-change? If someone's always going to come in and save the day, then, why do I need to worry? So there's a great strong faction that say, listen, you guys down on Earth, you've got to come some way across the bridge. You come across the bridge far enough, and then we'll come and help you. And that's what the human race is doing painfully and slowly, is taking these steps forward. And at some point, the critical point will be reached, and we will get the help.
Good answers. Thank you so much, Simon, for sharing that.
Pleasure.
My pleasure. Great. We've got about 3-4 minutes left. And I want to give you the rest of the time, Simon, to please talk about, feel free to talk about anything you like, about what's maybe what's happening here, or maybe see what things you see in the future for the world, humanity.
Oh, sure. Okay. Well, I was really pleased today. I think it was, I lose track of time on this planet. I think I did a little radio show with a Spanish radio show today, and I've got a Russian one wanting some interest. And I think what's good is that, for me, non-English speaking countries are now showing an interest, and that's really important. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to break into a country that English is not the first language. And I take that as a sign that right across the planet, people with different cultures, different colored skin, different way of life are all coming to the same conclusion that they haven't got the world or the life that they think they should have. Now, it's not about wanting something for nothing. I think it's about saying, this isn't fair, this isn't right. Mm-hmm. So I think that just that little simple thing of these countries wanting to do a little radio show, which in itself isn't very important, but I think it's a sign that other people are beginning to catch up and question. And if that is the truth, then that's fantastic, because there are probably something like 100,000 to 500,000 very bad people on the planet. There are billions of good people.
I agree.
How can this is the other question that why we don't get lots of battleships landing on our lawns to help us, because there is this very powerful argument, how come 5 billion of you are ruled by this 100,000 super elite? And the answer is, because you let them. You mustn't.
Okay, good.
Because if you didn't, you'd wipe them out, you'd remove them.
That's true.
It's like they did in Iceland, and you've just come back from Iceland, I understand, Ted. So
just come back, and we'll be stopping there again, where I hope to interview the Prime Minister on how they got rid of the bankers.
I'm still positive. I think I will always be positive.
Sure.
And I think that we've got these next 3 months or 2.5 months where I'm hoping for some real exciting news. I really want that exciting news.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, Simon, thank you so much for coming on today.
Pleasure.
It's always a pleasure to talk to you. You always have some fascinating comments. And one quick question: are you okay now? You haven't been attacked anymore. Are you feeling better?
No. So far, so good.
Good.
I think the bad guys have run out of juice. Their batteries are a bit flat at the moment.
That's good. That's good. Well, Simon, thank you so much again for coming on my show, and please stay tuned, friends, for my next hour. I'll be playing interviews with some famous scientists from the International Water Conference. And Simon, have a great day, and thank you again so much for coming on tonight.
God bless to you, and God bless to the audience.
Okay. Thank you so much, Simon. Take care.